Well, hello and welcome. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and everybody else that's joining in. Thank you for coming and studying God's Word and honoring our Lord today. Today we're going back into our study of our fifth study of the letter R in the ABC series, and it's study number 18D, and it's on redemption. What is redemption? Well, we had one recording that we listened to and studied prior to this, and we kind of recapped on salvation. Redemption is part of your salvation. It is an ingredient in your salvation that took place whenever you were saved, if you have been born again. And if you haven't, you need to be born again right away. You need to be saved right away. And if you was listening to the last recording at the end of it there, I gave you the scriptures of how to do that. And if you don't know how to do it and to be saved and what the Bible says about being saved, you can go on our website on Barnhouse Ministries and click under Life and Death, and it'll show you exactly what the Bible says and what God expects and how God expects you to come to Him to be born again. Now, we're not talking about just something that's temporary. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about an eternal God that is given out eternal life through His eternal Son, through His eternal payment, the redemption that Christ earned and paid for and put together and presented to the Father that the Father accepted gladly. And now the Father can be kind to you and propitious to you and forgive you in Christ's name. So if you don't know about being saved and you don't know what the Bible says about being born again, go to Barnhouse Ministries, www.barnhouseministries, and go on that site, and up at the top in the menu portion, you'll see Life and Death. Click on that, and it'll tell you exactly what the Lord's Word says concerning it. And I hope you'll do that if you're not born again. If you are born again, you shouldn't be doubting your salvation. You ought to be trusting in the Word of God and what God has said. God said that He would, those that come unto Him, He would in no wise cast out. So when somebody tells you that you can lose your salvation, what's that make them? According to God's Word. And makes them liars. They're lying to you. You can't lose your salvation once you've been born again. New Testament salvation, which is called the Pauline doctrine of salvation, which is the gospel of the grace of God. That's what New Testament salvation is. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's salvation by grace alone, through faith, believing what God has said and obeying the Lord and coming to Him the way that God has said to come to Him through His Son. And when you do that, you appropriate God's grace through faith, and God saves you and keeps His Word with you. And isn't that wonderful? I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? I'm glad I've got God's promise in written form that I can put right down on this desk and open it up and know that I have the very words of the living God, the Bible, the words of God that liveth and abideth forever, that I can read and I can trust with my soul. And I do. And you should be too. You ought to stake everything on what God has said. Stake your soul, your mind, your peace, your living, your time in the body while you're here. You ought to stake everything. The way you think, the way you speak, the friends that you have, the job that you hold, everything that has anything to do with anything in this life, you ought to stake on God's Word. What saith the Lord? So getting into redemption again, we took probably, I guess, the majority of the last lesson, and we went over the the ingredients, or I keep saying ingredients, that's not the exact word, the parts of your salvation, propitiation, redemption, imputation, sanctification, just all of them, propitiation. We went over all of those things briefly to refresh your mind about what they are. And I hope that I had mentioned to you that you could go to the study of propitiation, and it breaks it down just a little bit more about what each and every one of those things are and how they took place at the time you were born again, and how they are active in your life and in your eternal life at this very second. And they have taken place, and what part exactly in your salvation each and every one of those are individual things that took place during your salvation, but they all blend together. God has put salvation together so perfectly that every one of those things take place and they intertwine with one another. When you talk about one, you're almost talking about every other one when you're talking about them. But we break them down in that study of propitiation so you can know exactly what's being said whenever you're going over some of these studies and you hear that spoken. So you'll know what part of your salvation the Lord's talking about. You are saved and you're on your way to heaven, and you can't lose that. Heaven and hell, that question is over with. It's done. When you accepted Christ as your Savior and you put your faith and trust in what God said about His Son, His death, burial, and resurrection, that He sent His Son to die for you, and you believed on that and you acted on it and appropriated it, then God done His part and He saved you and adopted you into His family. And you are saved and you can never, ever lose it. Ever lose it. Don't even listen to anybody that talks to you about that you can lose or do something to lose your salvation. You didn't do anything to get it. It was a gift. God gave it to you. Only thing you done was believed what God said, and you appropriated what God said, and God honored that and gave you eternal life because you believed on His Son's payment, redemption. You see that thing? It's beautiful. The Lord put that thing together, and He's the only one that could have put that thing together and carried it out. And He did. And He did. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ indwelling us and teaching us, and He is our teacher. And that's who we trust, along with the Word of God, His Word, Christ's Word, along with the Word of God, and we put them two things together, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, and He's our teacher, and He teaches us the Word of God, and that's how we know what truth is. Truth is. We defined redemption somewhat, briefly. There's not a whole lot to say about it or to put in some kind of big, long, educated definition. The bottom line is the purchase of God's favor by a payment. Death and sufferings of Jesus Christ. The ransom or deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and from the penalties of God's violated law by the atonement of Christ. It's a payment. And Christ is the one that achieved that. He achieved the proper and only payment that our Heavenly Father, God the Father, would accept in order to be propitious against sinners that were under His wrath and His anger, which was you and me. But now we are no longer under His wrath and anger. We are righteous and holy in His sight because of Christ's righteousness that's on us. It's a payment. When you think of redemption, think of payment. That's what it is. But a specific, particular payment Not just any old thing. Remember we went over sanctification? And God said he's going to be sanctified in anything and anybody that comes near him. He's not a God that's like all these flippant gods that are in the world now that just can accept anything and anybody, any old time, any old way, any old how. That's not the God of the Bible. And you get that out of your thinking. And anybody else's thinking that you know thinks that. Because it's grossly incorrect and wrong. And it is not the God of the Bible. When you come to the Lord, you come to him his way in everything. Now, God has grace, but God wouldn't do anything wrong to keep you out of hell. He wouldn't do anything wrong. He would not do anything wrong to keep you out of hell. He'd let you go to hell before he'd do anything wrong. But he didn't have to do anything wrong. He put together a perfect plan. And then you have a free agent for a will. Your will is yours. You can choose whatever you want without any influence from the Lord at all. The Lord will step back and let you make your own mind up what you want. He'll present the facts to you, present the truth to you, and take it or leave it. And you better take it. Talking about redemption, we're going to get into the very first part of it here, and we're going to talk about things that Christ's redemption payment delivers from. That payment was not just made as a happenstance payment. There's a purpose in that payment. Things were achieved in that payment. When Christ gave that payment to the Father and offered it to him and the Father accepted it, it done some things. The first thing it done is it delivered you from the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Listen to what Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says. Christ hath redeemed us. There's that redeemed. Christ hath redeemed us. What's that mean? He made a payment for you in your stead. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, there's your word of God, there's God's word. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Christ did hang on a tree. And he was cursed for your sake. It delivers you from the curse of the law. Before you were saved, you were under the law and the curse of the law. And that curse was going to send you to hell and get you some punishment. Yeah. But Christ delivered you from the curse of the law. That's one thing. That redemption payment that Christ made under redemption delivers you from. It delivers you from the curse of the law. What else? Well, it delivers from the bondage of the law. According to the Bible, even nature is under bondage because of this sin thing that has taken place. When Adam fell, all mankind fell, and nature and the environment and everything else come into bondage. But it delivers you from the bondage of the law. Paul told us that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. Listen to what he says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came, went through what he went through, finished it. God the Father's plan came and finished what God told him to finish, and he achieved it. He acquired the payment, and he gave it to the Lord. God the Father offered it to him, and he redeemed, as the Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, you might not be a Jew, and you might not have been under the Old Testament law, but according to the Bible and according to Paul in the book of Romans, you as a Gentile were under just as much as being under the law. You were under your conscience, because the Bible says that God shows you things in nature that show you that He is, and show you that He's in charge and what the law is. And that nature itself teaches you that you're without excuse. So even if you're not a Jew that was legitimately and legally under the law of the Old Testament, you were under your conscience before God. As soon as you found out and realized that you had sinned, you come to the age of accountability and you realize that you not only had done something wrong, but you'd done something wrong against God's law, and you realize that, your conscience made you accountable and guilty. Christ's redemption payment delivers from the curse of the law, and not only that, it delivers from the bondage of the law. It makes you free. The Lord Jesus Christ said that He had come to make us free, and He does. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are released from all of the debt that you owed God under your conscience and under God's law. God's law condemns you as a sinner. God's law says, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie? It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. A lot of people think those little words right there, they just kind of or something that you write real pretty on a board and set up in a classroom, or not anymore, that is, in the United States, are ungodly, abominable classes that they teach now, and the things they teach in there have nothing to do with God. They kick God out, so God's kicking them out. But those words are alive, and they liveth, and they have meaning, and they have responsibility for everybody that knows them and reads them and is under them. It delivers from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it delivers from the bondage of the law. Galatians 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, that includes you, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God not only takes you out and releases you from the bondage of the law, forgives your sins, takes your sins completely away, but then adopts you into His family. It delivers you from the bondage of the law. What else? Things that Christ's redemption payment delivers from. Well, it delivers from iniquity. It delivers from iniquity. Listen to what Titus says in chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see that thing? Whenever you're born again, the redemptive payment that Christ paid for you delivers you from iniquity. God the Holy Ghost moves into you, starts teaching you the things of the Word of God, like we're doing this very second, what's good and what's bad and what doesn't matter. And the Lord teaches you these things, and then you're responsible to be zealous about those things, because you're born again and you're adopted into the family of God, and what makes a difference to you now is do the things that are pleasing before the Lord. That payment made you able to be able to do them things. It delivered you from iniquity, and does deliver you daily. God's Word teaches us what's right and wrong, and when we obey Him and want to do the things which you should, do the things that are pleasing in His sight, then we learn and we correct, and God's power works in us, and we're able to sanctify ourselves and our minds. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, the Holy Ghost, teaches us God's Word, and it renews our thinking, and we change our ways, and we do the things that are pleasing before the Lord, because we love Him, because of Christ's redemptive payment that He made for us, and God the Father accepting it on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news. Things that Christ's redemptive payment delivers from. It delivers from the curse of the law. It delivers from the bondage of the law. And it delivers from iniquity. And not only delivered us and paid for our sins and paid for our transgressions and took them out of the way, nailing them on the cross, not just forgiving them, but they're taken away. Forgiving you all your trespasses, the Bible says. But not only that, we're still in this sinful flesh, and the flesh doesn't want to do anything that the Spirit wants to do. Constant battle in us. But when you yield, the Lord said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we obey that and obey God's Word and study the Word like we're doing right now, God the Holy Ghost is able to take that, put it into our minds and nail it down in us and help us to have the power and give us the power to overcome these things daily, overcoming the power of sin. You see that thing? What else? Well, Christ's redemptive payment delivers from enemies. It delivers us from enemies. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 136, verse 23 and 24. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Did you have any enemies before you were born again? You better believe you did. Do you have enemies now that you're born again? You better believe you do. The Bible calls them the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the Lord said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. But we are to follow the Lord and follow the Lord's Word, just like you're doing right now, and learn God's Word and learn God's will and obey Him as good, reputable, sincere, honest children of God, because we mean it, because we want to, not because we have to. Big difference there, brothers and sisters. It delivers us from our enemies. Is there anything that the Lord has helped you with since you've been saved? You know, our enemies can be just things that hold us back during the, the Lord said for us to remove sorrow from our heart. You know, when you really get to thinking about it, there are all kinds of things in this world that try to make us fear. Fear is an enemy. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You see that thing? And what else enemies? Well, the enemies that we struggled with when we got saved. The things that the flesh loved. The smoking, the drinking, the sex, the fornication, the stealing, the lying, and all these things. They all become enemies. Enemies that we have to purge. We have to get rid of. And you know what? Christ's redemptive payment delivers from enemies. Because it pays for the opportunity for us to be born again and have God's favor and accept, adopt us into His family. And then God the Holy Ghost comes and indwells us and protects us and teaches us day by day and helps us and keeps us from the enemy. From the enemy. Christ's redemptive payment delivers from enemies. I'm sure that you can give God glory about some things that you have overcome because of God's grace and because it all started with the redemptive payment of Christ, with redemption. Can't you say that? I can say it. I can think of things. I can think of many things that the Lord has delivered me from and is delivering me from and helping me to fight and overcome and is going to deliver us from. We have enemies. You know what the Bible says? And the last enemy, do you know what the last enemy is that's going to be destroyed? That God says in His Word is the last enemy, the very last one. Do you know what the last enemy is? Well, the last enemy is death. Enemy, death is an enemy to us. Because if we live in this body is going to die. And it's going back to the dust, like God already said. No matter what we do, unless the Lord Jesus comes and raptures us out of here and changes our vile body and fashions it like unto His glorious body. And we are changed. And we won't have to worry about that. But if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, which everybody prior to us, it didn't happen, and they died. Everybody dies, even Christians. Your body dies. You don't go in the grave. You go to be with the Lord. A Christian never goes in the grave. But your body will if the Lord doesn't come and get us before your time. They'll put your body to bed with a shovel, and you'll go to be with the Lord. But death is an enemy. But Christ overcame that. His redemptive payment paid for that. And He resurrected, the first one to resurrect from the dead. And because He did that, He's able to resurrect us and change us and give us a body like His glorious body. Isn't that wonderful? It delivers from enemies. We have enemies. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's death. But you know what made that possible? Christ's redemptive payment. Christ's redemptive payment. You see that thing about this redemption and how important it is? I mean, any old body can say any old thing about religion and what it takes to get to heaven and what it takes this and what it takes that. But when they start talking about redemption, things start getting pretty serious when you start looking at it the way we're studying it today. Because somebody had to pay for this stuff. Somebody had to pay to get you out from under the curse of the law. Somebody had to pay to get you out from the bondage of the law. Somebody had to pay to deliver you from your iniquities. Somebody had to pay to deliver you from enemies. Somebody had to pay, and the next one is, it delivers from destruction. From destruction. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 103 and verse 2 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the Lord does all that for us and has done it and is doing it. Let me ask you something. Was your life before Christ redeemed you, before you were born again and you knew that Christ, and you found out that Christ made a redemptive payment so that you could be born again, was your life being destroyed? Was your life under destruction? Well, you'd be one in a million to sit there and say no. And I'm almost positive that everybody listening to this right now agreed with it. Yes, Brother TV, my life was under destruction before I got saved. You better believe it was. Christ's redemptive payment is what's responsible for delivering us from being destroyed. Because if the world does destroy people, and sin destroys people, it brings forth death. But if all of that steps aside, guess what? Without Christ, and without a redemptive payment that Christ made, you would destroy yourself. You'd take yourself out, one way or another. And most of you have already agreed with that because you remember that it was coming, wasn't it? You didn't know how, maybe didn't know what way, didn't know what, but you knew it was headed in that direction, didn't you? If you're honest, you did. And maybe you didn't. I don't know. But it'd be an exception to the rule, because the rule is that Christ had to die and had to be buried and had to resurrect and ascend back to the Father and go through all of that to make a payment that was worthy for the Father to accept in order for us to receive all the benefits from it. Now, you think how important that is. It delivers us from destruction. Just look around you next time you go for a drive and listen to people talk when you go for a drive. When you go up there to the store and you're walking through the store and everything, watch people's behavior. And watch how this world is. And just examine the world and the way the situation the world's in and how the world is functioning right now and the people in this world now. And look at the many things. Just observe people and try to find out something that's destroying their lives. It don't take much to look around, folks, and you can see people destroying their own lives. Yes, you can. But Christ's wonderful redemptive payment delivers from destruction. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103 right there, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he did, and he does, and he will, and he will. The Lord tells us about crowns that you can earn. But he crowned us with loving kindness. Has God been loving kind to you? Sure he has. And has God showed you any tender mercies that you have to glorify him and thank him for every time you think about it? You better believe it. I mean, you can't tell me that. God's been very kind to me. He has. There's some times in my life when I was at my very worst, when the Lord was his most gracious and very kind to me and done things for me that I absolutely did not deserve and couldn't ask him for, but he gave it to me just to show me his love and kindness. And it stays with you, folks. You really appreciate when somebody does something in a loving, kind way and tender way. Especially the Lord, when he doesn't have to, but he does it to show you who he is and how he feels about you. And it brings you under conviction and tries to make you examine yourself and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty rotten, stinking person. God treats me so good and I treat him like this. But you know what? It delivers from destruction. What else does it deliver from? What are we talking about? We're talking about Christ's redemptive payment. Christ's redemptive payment delivers. It delivers from the curse of the law, delivers from the bondage of the law, it delivers from iniquity, it delivers from enemies, it delivers from destruction. It did me. And you know what? We talked about that just a minute ago, but it delivers from death. You don't have to worry about death conquering you anymore. Get that. Your body might die, but you're not going to die. You're inside that body, back behind them eyes. And when your eyes close on your body, and your physical body dies, you're leaving that body and departing from that body and going to be with the Lord. You never go in the grave. No Christian goes to the grave. And don't go to no stupid purgatory or no intermediate blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. You go directly to be with the Lord. And your body goes back to the dust, and the Lord will bring that thing up when he comes, and you come back with him, and he's going to change that body and give it back to you in a perfect, glorified condition. It delivers from death. Listen to what Hosea says in chapter 13 and verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. And you know what? God don't just say it. He has the power to back it up. That's what's wonderful about our God. You know, Muhammad, he never done a thing. And if you affiliated with Muhammad and Allah and all that sort of business, you ought to think about that thing for a while. What did Muhammad ever do for you? What did Allah ever do for you? Really, really, really. What did he ever do for you? Did he die for you? Did he do anything for you at all? Can you name it? Can you write it down? What did Allah and Muhammad do for you? Nothing. Not a thing. Jesus Christ did. He don't just talk about saving people. He does it. And he has the power to back it up. He don't just deliver from death. He has the power to do that. And he don't just say it and write it down and give it to people to read and hope in and then let them down. He backs it up. His words don't go out void. And he doesn't lie. It delivers from death. The Lord said he would deliver us from the grave. He would deliver. I will be thy destruction, talking about the grave. O death, I will be thy plagues. I will redeem them from death. And in the New Testament, O grave, where is thy victory? And said, the sting of death is sin. That's what kills people. That's what causes people to die. And the Adamic nature. And sin brought it all about and still brings it about. You say, why am I going to die? Because you're a sinner. Because you have the Adamic nature, number one, and you sin. And sin bringeth forth death. But the Lord and his redemptive payment has changed things. And it delivers from death. Why? Because it bought it. It bought eternal life. It bought forgiveness. It bought that we could be delivered from death and from the next one that I'm going to talk about. It delivers from the grave. It delivers from, from death, and it delivers from the grave. Look what the Bible says also in Psalm chapter 49 and verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. That's a promise. Jesus said, they that believe on me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what Jesus said. Have you believed on Christ? Then Jesus said, you're never going to die. Your body might go back to the dust if Jesus don't come first. Hopefully he will. Before this is over even. But if he doesn't, you're never going to die. Christ's redemptive payment made that possible. It delivers from the grave. You never go to the grave. You understand that? That's what the Bible says. Or Jesus is a liar. Because he said, those that come unto him and believe on him shall never die. It delivers from the grave. It delivers from death. What else does Christ's redemptive payment? We're talking about things that Christ's redemptive payment delivers from. It delivers from the curse of the law. It delivers from the bondage of the law. It delivers from iniquity. It delivers from the enemies. It delivers from destruction. Did you know these things? Isn't it wonderful? It delivers from death. Now, these are all things that are afforded to you as a child of God that you get the benefit of because of Christ's redemptive payment. Because of redemption, the payment that was made, this is what you get. It delivers from destruction. It delivers from death. It delivers from the grave. What else? It delivers one from their vain conversation. You say, what? Yeah, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It delivers one from their vain conversation. Not just talking about what we're doing right now, having words back and forth. Conversation in the scripture a lot of times means your way of life, the way that you live. In other words, it delivers you from your life not meaning a thing, being vain, vanity. Your life was meaningless. Man weighed in the balances is altogether vanity. That's the way God looks at human beings' lives. Man at his very best state is altogether vanity. Like a woman sitting at a vanity and putting on all that makeup. She goes out and blah, 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 and goes through her day. When she comes back home, what she do? Sits in front of that vanity and removes every bit of it. And guess what? There she is in the mirror, the same old one. All that makeup didn't do one bit of good at all. It didn't change nothing. And the Lord says, that's the way man's life is when it comes to eternal things and to a holy, righteous, eternal God and his look at humanity. But Christ's redemptive payment delivers one from their vain conversation. Your ridiculous, unprofitable, worthless life. It delivers you from that and gives you meaning and purpose and goals and praise and a God that loves you and going to protect you and take care of you and a future and something to look forward to and promises and all of these sort of things. Christ's redemptive payment provided that. And it delivers you from your vain conversation that you used to have. Remember your life before you got saved? I mean, you might be going through some rough stuff right now as a saved person, but there's still that hope. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see that thing? That Christ's redemptive payment changed everything having to do with one's life. One's vain conversation. There's a lot of people walking around and got their shoulders back and their chin up, and they think that their life is really something. Man, look at me. Ain't I something? And the Lord looks down and says, you stupid, stupid person. If you knew that if you died right now, what you would end up, how you would end up, it would scare you, it would scare the dickens out of you. You wouldn't have your chin up in the air and acting like you're somebody. You'd humble yourself to a mighty God, and his son made a redemptive payment for you, and you would obtain it as quickly as you possibly could. But it delivers one from their vain conversation. Your life is no longer meaningless. The Bible says, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you're working for the Lord and you're doing anything at all for the Lord, don't listen to the enemy. He's a liar. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And the Bible says, God's word says that he will flee from you. When you resist him, God's word commands him to flee. He has to flee and get away from you. And if he's trying to drive you nuts and trying to tell you you're worthless to the Lord and that things are meaningless, and I'm telling you this stuff because that's what they do to me, and tell you that everything that you're living for is blah, blah, you know, that's the way they talk. That's the way they do. And this world's sure not going to tell you anything good about you living for the Lord, and you know that. And the lust of this world and the pride of life and all that stuff, that's not on our side. It's all part of a vain conversation that we used to be part of until you were born again. And your spirit was quickened, and now you know the Lord, and you can communicate with the Lord, and you can understand the things of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is with you and guiding you and helping you and teaching you and trying to get you to submit and not with a hammer over your head or a thumb on your head, but by loving you and caring about you and giving you the best and showing you that following the Lord and doing the things that falling in love with the Lord and being sincere with the Lord is profitable. And the Lord said that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the Bible says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows what's going on with you. And I'm sitting here saying that, and the devil beat my brains out telling me God is a million miles away from me, and he ain't listening to a word I say. But who are you going to believe? You believe that book. The Bible says those that come unto him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you talk to God, do you believe he's listening? Do you believe he is? I didn't say, are you being told by the devil that he's not listening to you? I didn't say that. I said, do you believe that he's listening to you? Well, he is. Those that come unto him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Lord hears our prayers, and he hears your prayers, and he cares. The Bible says, he careth for you. Now, we can either believe that, and you know what? The enemy's not going to talk to you and try to beat your brains out with a bunch of lies unless you're doing something for the Lord. Remember that. And even the smallest, minute thing that's sincere in your heart, and you mean it, and you're genuine with the Lord, and when you talk with the Lord, you're in your closet, and you're not trying to show off in front of people, and you're just having a relationship on purpose with the Lord between you and him, the Lord honors that. The Bible says the Lord sees you when you pray in your closet, and he rewards you openly. Don't forget that. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christ's redemptive payment and what it delivers from. So far, we've said that it delivers us from the curse of the law. It delivers from the bondage of the law. It delivers from iniquity. It delivers from the enemies that we had and that we have. It delivers from destruction. It delivers from death. It delivers from the grave, and it delivers from vain conversation. Your life is no more meaningless and vanity and vain and worthless. It means something. It counts for something. And there's two more. Christ's redemptive payment delivers from this present evil world. Now, all this stuff intertwines that I'm talking about, but individualizing it is important because, well, you see why it is. Because it breaks it down with the Scriptures. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, for instance, who gave himself for our sins, there's your redemption, there's the payment, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Not the past, not the future, but the present evil world. Is this world presently evil? You better believe it is. Who gave himself for our sins, was that 2,000 years ago? That he might deliver us, me and you, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. It's God's will for us to be delivered from this world. And the Lord's going to take us completely out of here one day and deliver us from the very presence of it. But right now, we need to be delivered from the power of this evil present world, because it comes at us in many different directions, doesn't it? It sure does. It sure does. But the Lord said that he gave himself for our sins, and one of the reasons was that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Wasn't that thoughtful of the Lord? That one reason he went through what he went through to get that payment together, to give to the Father so we could appropriate it. It could be appropriated. It could be counted to us that we could have peace with the Father, that we could come to him through Jesus Christ and be saved and become part of his family and a son of God, a child of God, and not have to worry about anything anymore. Having to do with this evil present world, this present evil world. I'm glad that he mentioned that, aren't you? Because this world is waxing worse and worse. And you hear people say that, and it's kind of in a monotone way. You know, the world's getting worse and worse and worse. Brothers and sisters, Peter said, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, and so on and so forth. And just like I said a while ago, you go out and walk around and look at society and just kind of take notice. Take heed, the Bible calls it. That's just a little more than casual notice. Just study it a little bit. And you'll see, this world is changing, and it's waxing worse and worse and worse, and it's getting worse evil-wise. Evil-wise. When I was a boy 50 years ago, 60 years ago, there was nothing in society like what it is now. Man, we didn't walk, when we was boys, we'd run up and down a neighborhood. We didn't worry about, you could walk through the neighborhood at night and people would have their screen, they'd have their doors on their house open and screen doors closed and where the air could come through the house and the windows open. And nobody thought about bothering anybody and nobody worried about anybody going to bother you. And if there was any foolishness that went on, it was very rare and it was taken care of. But it wasn't like today. Nothing like this present evil world today. But Christ died and acquired that payment, the redemptive payment, in order for us to be delivered from this present evil world. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? You know, your responsibility is that you appropriate that payment in your life and you do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's eyes about changing things in your life so that you get the evil things in this world out of your life. You come toward Christ and toward the things of the Word of God and away from the world and the evil that's in the world. It's a two-sided coin. You do one and the other. You turn away from the world and toward Christ. As a Christian, sincere before your Heavenly Father and wanting to do the things that are pleasing in His sight, it delivers from this present evil world. And finally, or the last part of our lesson today, Christ's redemptive payment delivers from the wrath to come. I want to challenge you one thing. Go into your concordance and look up the word wrath. And then follow how many times the Bible uses the phrase or the wording wrath to come. There's a lot of Christians that don't even know that's in the Bible. They think Jesus is they think God is like an old grandpa sitting in a rocking chair up there and just rocking and just can't wait for you to come to Him so He can forgive you and give you a big hug and a kiss and just like Santa Claus. That's not the God of the Bible, folks. Look that up. Christ's redemptive payment. And if there was anything, and all of them are very, very important, and we've been over them, and you see that. But this one, it delivers from the wrath to come. If you hadn't been saved, the worst things that could ever happen to you were in the future, were on their way. But they've been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, and you've been forgiven all your trespasses, and you're no longer under the wrath to come. Look that up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for His Son from heaven, that's what we're doing now, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Yeah. You, my friend, and my brother and sister, were at one time in your life in the worst danger that you could have ever been in. And me too. The wrath to come. That's the God of the Bible for people that, for Christ rejecting fools. You see all these people walking around in there and got their snoots up in the air and mocking God and doing all this, and they might not even mock God. They might just say, I don't believe in God, blah, 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 all the different stupid, idiotic stuff in this world. The Bible says nature itself teaches them that God is, and they're without excuse. So all the different varieties of Christ rejectors out there, do you know what they're doing? They're walking around on this earth, and they have something coming to them, and it's called wrath, and it's from God, the God of the Bible. God's wrath is going to be poured out on them. It's coming. The wrath to come. And that's what Paul was saying right there in 1 Thessalonians. Listen to it. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who made the payment, the redemptive payment, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Look that thing up. Get in your Bible and follow that. Follow that word, wrath to come, and see what the Bible says about that thing. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The wrath to come. Aren't you glad that you're delivered from that? I am. I don't know how these fools walk around and not be scared of God. He's my heavenly Father, and he loves me, and I have everything to look forward to, but I still fear him. And I'm talking about, like David said, I'm scared of him. And scared of offending him. And some of you knuckleheads walking around just take God like an old grandpa that you can walk around and pat on the head. You got it wrong, my friend. We got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God and a Savior that's on our side, and we're on his side. But if you don't think you get out of fellowship with him and you offend him as your heavenly Father, and he'll come after you with a strap that'll make you, oh boy, but it delivers us from the wrath that's coming. It's not that kind of wrath. This is wrath against sinners, wrath against Christ rejectors, wrath against God haters that hate him. God says, he said, I'm going to meet you face to face. You're going to know it's me, all of y'all that hate me. You're going to know it's me when I come. And I'm going to get glory off of you. I'm going to burn you in hell, and I'm going to get glory off of it. Because just before I put you in hell, you're going to glorify my Son and say, Jesus is Lord. So all this snooty, proud running about in the world today that you see out of people, just think about that. They're not delivered from the wrath to come. It's upon them, and it's on its way. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. But us, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from this present evil world, from our vain conversation that we used to have, and from even the one that we sometimes try to even develop as Christians, vain conversation. Man, make your life worth something for the Lord on purpose. And it delivers from death. It delivers from destruction and enemies and iniquity and the bondage of the law and the curse of the law. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful payment. Things that Christ's redemptive payment delivers from. Amen. All right. We're going to stop right there. All right. If you got a pencil, I'm going to give you these scriptures, and we're going to stop this class right there, and we'll pick up on our next one, and we'll talk about how redemption was accomplished and discuss some of that and what the scriptures have to say about that. And I want you to note something, that today we wasn't just talking about what we think or we was talking about what saith the Lord. We went to the scriptures, and you see the scriptures when it's concerning what Christ's redemptive payment delivers from. Everything we talked about today is written in God's Word and spoken. And we went over the scriptures to find out about what Christ's redemption payment delivers from, didn't we? Yes, we did. That's how come we know what's truth and what's not truth now about this matter. You see that thing? It's the Word, God's Word, God's Word. All right, here's the scriptures that we use today and been over today. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. And then we had Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We read Psalm chapter 136, verse 23 and 24. We read Psalm 103, verse 2 and 4. We read Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. And then Psalm chapter 49, verse 15. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. And the last one for today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And that's the one we was talking about the wrath to come. The Lord delivered us from that. If we ain't got anything else to be thankful for, God's not mad at us anymore. You know, you got to be mad at somebody to be wrathful toward them. You know? You say, well, God, I thought God wasn't mad. No, God is angry. God is angry. But He's angry at the right things. He's angry at righteous things. He's angry in only a way that God can be, a perfect anger. And He's going to carry it out. But not on us. We're delivered from it. And I'm glad, aren't you? Amen. What a wonderful Lord we have, brothers and sisters. Thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for being steadfast. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever, ever quit. You keep on all the way to the end. Finish right. And the Lord said He'll give you a crown of life. He'll reward you. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You remember that. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. I love you with Christ's love, and I thank you for your patience and for your devotion to the Lord and to His Word. I admire you, and I hope that you'll continue. And if you don't study here, study somewhere, but study. Study. Come on back and we'll study some more about this redemption. We'll talk about how redemption was accomplished according to the Scriptures. Amen. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I love you with Christ's love. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.